Today is first day of winter. That just happened to be my first line on my message. But what does winter mean to you? What does it mean to you? Think about it. Think about it. John Steinbeck wrote a novel called The Winter of Our Discontent. And if any of you have read it, I notice a couple of nodding heads. It's kind of a disappointing novel, but it has some redeeming qualities in it. And I would recommend that any of you that would like to see it or read a good John Steinbeck novel, that you take a look at it. But I'm not going to talk about it. Don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about something more positive today. Now, Suzanne and I know, and many of you know, that there are a number of people here in the San Diego Church, in God's church throughout the world, in the non-church throughout the world, that are undergoing trials and tests. Many, many people are going through things that I would not look forward to going through. But rather than drag out that misery that you and I have seen and are still seeing, let's go now to God's Word right away. And I'm going to be using the New Living Translation today. So if you have an old New King James, I have an old New King James here, but I'm going to be using on my notes the New Living Translation. So those of you that, like Mr. Gardenhire, have a smartphone and they go like this with their fingers, they can go to whatever translation they want right away. I'm going to be using that. So the title of this message is Obey God and Obtain Everything That God Promises. Obey God. Big important part. Obey God and obtain everything that God promises to you. So let's open our Bibles or our apps, as I said, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2. And I'll start right away at verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. New Living Translation. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in or through Christ Jesus. Verse 2, you have heard me, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now listen to what he says. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will then be able to pass them on to others. Isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we do when we're here? Isn't that hopefully what we're trying to do? We haven't exactly heard Paul. We haven't heard him, but we have read his writings. Do we believe? Do we believe what he wrote? Do we believe what he said to do? If we do, then we need to talk about this enthusiastically and often with each other. You don't have to be ordained, but you do have to really believe the gospel. It's the very essence of our lives. Now, I'm going to give you some metaphoric winter talk. 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 5. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy, endure suffering. we're not suffering today. It's not really too bad outside, But when we were at the feast in Montana, it snowed the first day, and we thought, whoa, if it snows the first day, what's going to happen to that? It didn't. God let up, and it was beautiful. Endure suffering along with me, Paul says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldiers don't get tired. They don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life. for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes, he changes the metaphor a little bit, and athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. I like to underline that, follow the rules. Have you ever been in the military or in jail where they are always telling you what to do? And they don't say please, they just tell you to do it. If you have, then you know that whoever is giving the orders wants you to do it right then, or, you know, earlier. Or even, have you ever played an organized sport that requires discipline and dedication? Coaches are not used to saying, please hike the ball properly. They just don't do that. They don't do that. Or jump a little higher when you're going over that hurdle. That's not the way coaches talk. Paul uses these examples or metaphors for what we all need to do as soldiers of Jesus. But then he switches gears. You know, if you're reading along in your Bible, you notice he switches gears and then he's talking about farming, not fighting. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 6. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Can we see the connection between following the rules and being the first to enjoy the crops? You have to stretch your mind a little bit, but you can see it. Just think about it. The farmer does work, oftentimes hard work. Farmers work hard. But God is very fair. Paul is telling Timothy that Timothy, this younger guy, is going to have to work hard. But because God is very, very fair, Timothy, and this is the point, we too will be rewarded. Do you ever get tired of not getting paid enough? Now, this could be a metaphor, but, you know, some people work jobs. Do you ever get tired of not getting rewarded enough in our little organization? Probably. Probably you get tired. 2 Timothy 2:7, think about what I'm saying, Paul is saying to Timothy. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. And Paul says that to Timothy because Timothy was young or newer in the faith, and he didn't understand everything that Paul understood. Sometimes you and I, brethren, we need to wait for God to help us to understand. Now, Paul knew that Timothy was evaluating everything that he heard, just like you're evaluating, you know, what God's word said and what I'm telling you today. But let's go a little bit further. Let's read verses 8 through 10. Verse 8, always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. Now, we might say, well, we all know that. But look, this is the good news I preach, Paul's talking to Timothy. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal, but the word of God cannot be chained. Now, you go out and you tell your neighbors, Jesus was raised from the dead, and they go, wait a minute, it's Christmas time, it's not Easter, what are you talking about? You know, even if they think about it, but most people don't think about it. They don't think about it. Why are you even bringing this up? I want to say, and the point is going to be made by Paul, that the resurrection is a big deal. And for those of us that are fairly mature, resurrection is our hope. Don't worry about that. I'm not dead yet. So, Paul says to Timothy, I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus. to those God has chosen. Guess who I'm talking to? I'm talking to the chosen. I'm not talking to that TV show, James, but I am talking to the real chosen. We have been chosen. And you need to think about that. Okay, here are a couple of things we need to closely notice in our winter times. We have been chosen by God to understand and to do certain things. But Jesus' resurrection was really important. Many of the people alive at that time had actually seen Jesus as a physical human being. And they had seen or heard about his gruesome death. But now, back then, the resurrection was a very big deal. We must not take it lightly. Jesus was strung up and executed like a common criminal, but God raised him from the dead. Paul was telling Timothy that things might get, for him and us, very bad and scary. But verse 10, again, Paul was willing to endure anything if it would bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those that God has chosen. Brethren, we are the chosen of God. Don't we want to pass that on to others too? Are we able to work hard and to enjoy God's blessings, whatever they are now, but also to keep going in the winter of our lives, because we all will experience that winter. But if you've lived a year or two, you know that after the winter comes the spring, right? It's inevitable. God made it that way. And spring will come, metaphorically, too, to us. Then Paul does something that he occasionally does. He quotes a little bit of poetry that even, and I like this word, the most erudite scholars cannot find in God's word. He quotes from Greek poets. Paul did that. He was fairly educated. So I'd like to end this message with a poem from a British poet, Rudyard Kipling. I won't joke about his name. And this poem is called If. If you can keep your head when all about you others are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. You don't curse them because they're doubting you. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or when lied about, you don't deal in lies back. Or being hated, you don't give way to hating, and you don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters as both the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken, and then stoop and build them up again with worn-out tools. I love this. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and I was thinking of leaving this out, but I thought about it and I kept it in, and lose and start again from your beginnings, and never breathe a word about your loss. Oh, my. If you can force your heart, nerve, and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and hold on when there's nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings but never lose the common touch. If neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything in it. And what is more, you'll be a man, my son. And the only thing that I, you know, add at the end is the Greeks. And if you, you know, ask Bob Gardenhire about this, you know, you look at the words and brethren and all those words in the church, they're meant for men and women. So, Jesus, the Son of God, should be our kind of man.